We are less than 6 days away from the start of Miami Dolphins training camp, and things are slugging along. Lots of drama on social media, but we're not going to talk about any of that here on Finsider Radio, aka the Jake and Josh Show, part of SB Nation's The Finsider. No, today Jake and I plan to bring you our top moves of the offseason. Some may be obvious, others not so much, but before we get into all of that, let me introduce you to the one, the only, the verified gangster himself. You can follow him at Twitter, at JMENDEL94. Jake, how's it going today, man?
Josh, I'm doing good. You know what? I have to say, I'm yet to get sick of people saying, oh, yeah, you're verified. It's just one of those things. It really doesn't mean much, but it's just kind of one of those things you can say you did, kind of like riding a roller coaster or something along those lines. Josh, I want to ask you before we get into this, it's really our last show before news starts to pick up. You know, everyone's starting to return from summer break. Everyone's breaking out their fresh new pencils, and we're going to do that too starting next week. Shows more often. There's going to be news coming out left and right. I believe the Dolphins, one of their games just got switched to Be Live, their third game, I think. No, second.
Bears game. The Bears game is now a primetime game, and I think the Bengals game is. So I think two of them, I guess, two of watch them twice then. In primetime.
And so we certainly can't wait for that. But before we get into that, Josh, I got to ask, do you in Pennsylvania there, is horse racing a big thing for you guys?
Dude, it is. I mean, I haven't done it in a long time, but there were times when we'd go up to Penn National Racecourse, and it's funny enough, they're now owned by Barstool, but I think they have something in with them. But dude, we used to go out there all the time, and it's exhilarating, man. Have you? Are you into it? Let's hear your story. I think you got something you want to say.
So, you know, in Western Massachusetts here, people ask where I'm from, and I'll say, you know, Pittsfield. And they'll say, you know, where's that? And I'll say Western Mass. And they're like, oh, you're near Worcester. Or depending on who you talk to, oh, you're near Worcester. And I say, no, we're about an hour away. So we're basically New Yorkers. And working at the Berkshire Eagle in the sports department, I had the opportunity to go over to the Saratoga Racetrack. It opened up last week. I think anybody who's probably a little intense into horse racing is knows of Saratoga. I think they're broadcasting today on Fox. I could be a little mistaken there. But Josh, I just wanted to chat about this for a minute because, I mean, it's just, it's great to be back in live audiences. I have to say that. But the two things that stuck out to me, one, I think everyone will agree that it's literally a cigar factory. The entire place smells like smoke. And Josh, do you know those ice cream cones you get where you buy them at the store and at the bottom there's just that little chunk of chocolate? At the bottom of the cone, excuse me, there's that little chunk of chocolate.
Yeah, I do. I'm over here laughing. I don't know where you're going. Just chunk of chocolate at the bottom of a cone is not something I was expecting. I'm loving this.
Ready for this metaphor. So it was cigar smoke, but that chunk of chocolate, you could just smell marijuana, just that little chunk of chocolate. And since it's legal here in Mass, I was just dying laughing because you just got that like underlying wave of it. And then number two, I mean, Josh, when you go to these events, you're expecting $15 for a beer, right? And, you know, I was gonna be one of those guys. I got all my pictures. I did my interviews. I was going to, you know what? I'm going to put my feet up. I might even get a beer and just enjoy the atmosphere. I said, no, I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to come back. I'm going to do this podcast with you. I'd rather do that anyway. So I get an iced coffee there. You know, a lot of these places have like Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks built in, you know, football, you know, stadiums are the same way. Dude, I paid $3.15 for my medium iced coffee black usually. This thing was only $4. I feel like I hijacked them because it just seemed like coffee shouldn't be that cheap at a racetrack. I feel like I came out victorious because I didn't, you know, spend double or triple the amount needed to just buy a drink.
Yeah, I don't know who you're with, but you should have had the cars running or you should have hopped on one of them horses and got the hell out of there because that thing's normally twice that price at most places.
So that's my thrilling story about how I, hijacked a medium iced coffee black and was chilling with some horses today, Josh. So with all that kind of out of the system, you know, I like sharing a couple Eagle stories once in a while. They're fun. But Josh, let's get into it here. We each have three moves. We thought this would be a good idea just because, you know, like I said at the top, the preseason's wrapping up. We're all kind of itching for football. So we wanted to kind of wrap up the preseason and not just kind of say the Dolphins signed a bunch of players. They drafted a few more. Instead, we're just going to give you our top six, our spark notes, whatever, cliff notes, whatever you call them. Here they are. And Josh, number one I have is Eric Studsville and George Godsey taking over as the offensive coordinators. Mostly, are we going to call him Studsy or Godville? I'm yet to figure that one out. What do you think?
I tweeted out Stud God, and I don't know if anybody picked that up, but I thought, you know, being a stud of a God, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't make sense. I'm trying to figure out what it means. I got nothing. A studly God. That's what I pictured.
So Hercules. They're basically
Hercules. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Except the cartoon.
They're both bald. But except they're both bald and they have hair, right?
You got that right. The reason I brought these guys up is because it's the third time in three seasons the Miami Dolphins under Brian Flores are going to have different offensive coordinators. Obviously, Chan was the man last year. The thing I think that's most interesting about this is we had that Myles Gaskin quote from a couple months ago where he was talking about the running backs, where they saw the playbook, and it has changed, and everyone got really excited hearing that from Gaskin. And while he said it changed, he said it was really familiar. So, Josh, I want to ask, does that kind of sound like the lingo from the Chan Gailey offense is going to transfer from year one to year two, but maybe the plays will be different? It helps a second-year quarterback like Tua not really hit those bumps because, as it is the third time in three seasons the offensive coordinators have switched, it seems like the playbook, the terminology, the lingo is pretty much the same from what Gaskin is telling us.
Yeah, and you don't know how much of that is just, you know, from a basic football vocabulary standpoint, you know, how much of these offenses, you know, sound similar but are different. And, you know, you mentioned this Myles Gaskin quote, but there were some quotes, you know, throughout training camp or the mini camps, I should say, where guys were saying, you know, this is a completely different playbook. You know, Flores himself said, you know, we spent most of those early camps, you know, getting just acclimated, you know, just kind of laying down the foundation of this thing. So I think it is going to be, like you said, it's going to look entirely different, but I'm sure from, you know, verbal standpoint, you know, some of those plays that these guys, I think Studsville himself said, you know, we're going to use some of those plays we had last year, you know, the stuff that worked, and then we're also going to change some things. So I think it's going to be the best of both worlds, or at least we hope. And we'll talk about Charlie Fry later, but I think all three of those guys together, you know, should be able to take this offense to that next level. And, you know, if they can't, we might be looking for a fourth offense coordinator.
Oh, God. Studsville was Miami's running back coach and run game coordinator last year. Godsey was the Titans. The Titans. Godsey spent time with the Texans, excuse me, and when he was the offensive coordinator, the Texans were 29th in yards per game and 28th in scoring. Godsey's known Flores for a while, and I believe he was calling the plays when Chan Gailey missed a game. Am I correct on that one, or was it Studsville?
That is a for some reason, people, I think what happened was Robbie Brown, the quarterback coach, was out for that Arizona game. And since Chan Gailey called plays up in the booth, everyone saw Godsey down there with Tua.
Oh, yes.
But
yes,
Chan
yes.
Gailey didn't actually miss time. So I mean, nothing against you, man. I mean, everyone, I've had so many people reach out to me and say, how comes Godsey called that game and how comes it looks so much different? But that was, in fact, Chan Gailey calling that game. But
right.
Godsey was down there on the field. And I think, again, you know, maybe since that did look so well, maybe that's just, you know, a sneak peek of what this offense might look like. But we do remember Brian Flores himself said if Gailey did miss any time, Studsville would have been that play caller. So I think this is the best of both worlds. I mean, you got a guy that's a pass game sort of, you know, coordinator, developed the tight ends, things like that. And then you got Studsville, who has been very good with these running backs. He's been here through regime after regime. So this is huge, Jake. I mean, this offense, we saw the defense last year. We need this offense to catch up, and we're putting all of our eggs in their basket.
Yeah, and both these guys have been in the league for a long time, so I don't think we should worry yet, at least. Obviously, we can't predict the future, about the idea of, you know, something goes wrong and people start blaming each other. I think these are two guys who understand what they're getting themselves into, accepting co-offensive coordinator positions. And Josh, I'm just going to wrap it up here by saying, I mean, these guys could legitimately be Miami's off-the-field Jalen Waddle and Will Fuller in terms of just making that offense get so much better with Tua in his second year.
Yeah, and I hate to always bring it up, but I mean, every time we talk about these co-coordinators, I mean, you almost have to ask, Jake, do you see this being a problem? I mean, we know we can look at the college ranks. You can look at some of the pro teams. I mean, we've seen these co-coordinators, you know, coexist. Mm-hmm. But do you think at some point this season, you know, this could be Godsey or Studsville? I mean, it's just an interesting development. And again, I would just wonder if at any point in the season, you know, we're going to see play calling duties taken from one guy to another if you start to see this offense look anemic like it did at times last year.
You're 100% right, and you're not the only one who has that concern. I think it's a major concern because this isn't something we see necessarily often. I think the Patriots actually did it back in what was it? The year they almost went perfect? What, 2013? No. Wow, 2008, right?
I try to forget those years. Any positive New England year, let's just throw them out. Asterisks next to them.
That's fair. And I still think I got the year wrong about that. I'm sorry. But Josh, I don't think it's going to be an issue just yet. I think these guys have been around the NFL and been in that coach's dynamic for so long. I don't think that'll be an issue. But of course, when backs against the wall, things already always change. Moving on to number two, Josh, you hinted at it. Tell me a little bit about why you think Charlie Fry is one of the biggest moves of the offseason.
Yeah, Jake. I mean, at first, I think I started to look at this as some of those under the radar signings, and I think that's kind of where I went with at least two of my three. But to me, Charlie Fry, I mean, we sit here and you talked about this offense. There's two guys that have been here last year, have been with this team, you know, they're still in place. So what's changed? It's bringing in a guy like Charlie Fry, who, you know, developed some of those different concepts there at Central Michigan. Went 8-6 in 2019. The team averaged 30.43 points per game. He ran a much balanced offense. They ran for over almost 3,000 yards on the ground, Jake. So it took a step back again in 2020, obviously a shortened season. But overall, I mean, I think what you see here is Charlie Fry is a guy that's, you know, he's a little bit younger, and I hate to use that terminology, but, you know, he's kind of in the college game as you're starting to see it expand. You're starting to see some of those schemes and some of those tendencies come over into the pro ranks. So I'm excited about this. And, you know, we didn't even talk about his relationship that he has with Tua Tagovailoa. We know that he met with him and worked together at the Elite 11. You know, he knows what works best with Tua and knows what doesn't. So I'm excited to see him come in here and bring, you know, a lot of those concepts that he used at Central Michigan. And again, almost take ownership of this, because, you know, as we talked about Jalen Waddle, you know, one of the biggest things when the Dolphins drafted him was I was wondering if they could find a way to utilize him right. You know, a lot of those pre-snaps, getting the football in his hands, and a lot of what we saw Charlie Fry do there at Central Michigan was those type of things. A lot of that pre-snap motion, getting the ball into those playmakers' hands and using, you know, space and different concepts like that to make this offense work. So again, I think this move is good, going under the radar a little bit. And when everyone was sitting here, you know, let's get rid of Chan Gailey, let's bring in this guy and that guy, you know, this Charlie Fry signing was that move that hopefully ignites this offense, you know, in unison with George Godsey and Eric Studsville.
Editors know it was the 2007 Patriots. But Josh, you're 100% right. And I think my favorite point you brought up is that while the Dolphins are changing offensive coordinators, most of this coaching staff remains the same, right? You know, these are a lot of returning guys. Yes, we kind of had concerns about Chan Gailey, you know, long-term. We didn't see that as a long-term vision. But we see how things are kind of developing and how you see that pipeline. Because the one thing that's for certain is that offensive coordinators don't fly under the radar in the NFL, right? You have a half of a good year, you're near Sean McVay, and all of a sudden you're going to have an opportunity to try out or interview for a coach's job. So that's kind of been my big concern about the Dolphins. Isn't necessarily Brian Flores is the head coach. It's the fact that offensive coordinators are going to want to become head coaches and offer those jobs. But this pipeline, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's Charlie Fry, you know, as the offensive coordinator 2-3 years down the road. Of course, that involves a lot of success, this regime still being here, and, you know, that certainly sounds like a best-case scenario for me. Going on to number three, Joshua, Will Fuller is signed, Jalen Waddle is drafted. The Dolphins, I think, are really under the microscope, specifically when it comes to Jalen Waddle, Josh, because, you know, the Dolphins had the third overall pick. They jumped back to 12, and they moved back up to 6 in order to secure Waddle. A lot of people said after the draft this was the guy the Dolphins wanted. Even there were some rumors before the draft that Waddle was the guy. Some were even saying that he's the better receiver between him and Devontae Smith. Their splits were almost even when they played 4 games together last year before Waddle started to miss some time with injuries. So, Josh, I think what Will Fuller and Jalen Waddle do is the Dolphins' playbook, I think, is going to look pretty similar to what it was last year. And we do love to talk about the tight windows the Dolphins were throwing to and how, you know, we need a great separation. The big word this offseason is separation. And there's no doubt that Will Fuller and Jalen Waddle do that, but they need to do it in the specific way that, you know, fits the offense, right? We can't have Mike Wallace out there alligator arming slant routes because that isn't what he does. You know, he can run in a straight line. So these are two guys where I think can really have a difference in terms of just the development of the Miami Dolphins offense. I think it comes down to these two guys. If the team is going to go from, what was it, you know, 15th in points per game up to, you know, they don't have to be incredible. This doesn't have to be a top five offense, especially with the defense. But to kind of creep up and lurk around that top 10, I think it really leans on Will Fuller staying healthy, Jalen Waddle having a solid rookie season. I don't want to sit here and compare everyone to Justin Jefferson because his rookie season was incredible. Rookie wide receivers don't usually hit the ground running. Shout out Ten Gidd, who just retired. But Josh, I see these two guys as the real factors for the Miami Dolphins offense. It goes farther than Tua because, you know, you get the ball in Fuller's hand, you get the ball in Waddle's hand, they're making plays, and that isn't really on Tua once, you know, the ball's in the air, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm almost picturing that Chris Forrester, you know, him down there sniffing it up, like just injecting all this, Jake, because this is what you want. You want this speed. And, you know, I try to make video game references and try to make light of situations. You know, it's almost like the Dolphins, you know, you're Sonic and you ran into those blue shoes. And, you know, he just goes into a whole nother level of speed. I mean, that's what the Dolphins did here. You mentioned the separation. We love to talk about it. But Will Fuller last year, man, we talked about podcast after podcast. When Hopkins went, when they traded him away, I mean, this guy filled in as that number one and, you know, 8 touchdowns, 879 yards, 53 receptions. He can run that full route tree. So I think, you know, he brings that speed, but I think we're underestimating what he can bring as, you know, an, honestly, a true number one wide receiver. And then Jaylen Waddle. Sure. I mean, I would be the first one to tell you, again, I would have stayed put. I would have taken Devontae Smith. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm doing what I'm doing because of that. So Jaylen Waddle, we know there are teams who sat there and had him up there with, what, Kyle Pitts, Trevor Lawrence, I think Jacksonville did. I mean, this is a guy that people continue to compare to Tyreek Hill. So you see where a player like that would fit into this offense. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it because we mentioned, I mean, at the top of this, it was offense. Now you're adding these playmakers to what we just said about this offense taking that next step. I mean, these are the guys that the Dolphins brought in to help Tua Tagovailoa become that quarterback that we all hoped. I just am so scared, Jake, that, you know, the same thing with the Herbert and Tua comparisons. I mean, you mentioned Justin Jefferson, but what happens if Devontae Smith goes out there and has 1,000 yards, 10 touchdowns? And, you know, we see what we expect from Jaylen Waddle, you know, maybe 5 touchdowns, you know, 600-700 yards. I mean, there's a lot of mouths to feed in this Dolphins offense. There's no reason why people should expect him to go out there and do Justin Jefferson things. But, you know, it's going to end up one way or the other. The Dolphins made the wrong move. But I think I love both these guys. And I think, Jake, one thing that we're overlooking is Will Fuller's out the first game of the season. So Jaylen Waddle right away is going to be pushed in there. And, man, what if he just goes in there and says, you know what, you're not taking my
unless
job.
Unless they use Jakeem Grant, right?
They could. You know, he hasn't been cut yet. I think I said about 2 months ago he was going, and he's still hanging on.
I'm sorry, I had to bring that up. But, I mean, I just look at this group, and it is exciting. And you mentioned the idea of a number one receiver, and I think my brain instantly goes to this, you know, the big physical guy who's going to catch 15 balls a game. But that's not necessarily what the Dolphins needed, right? They need guys who, you know, in the third or fourth quarter, when the Dolphins need a spark and everyone on the defense knows that the ball is going to go in a certain direction, that it doesn't matter, right? That Will Fuller, I mean, he was the guy. Yes, Brandon Cooks was in Houston, but everyone, you got to stop Will Fuller. Deshaun Watson and Will Fuller was like that combo breaker, and nobody could do it. And I think that's what the Dolphins really missed. Devontae Parker can do it a little bit, but just knowing that you have a guy who's going to make the play, you can't stop him, can't contain him, there's nothing you can do. It's, you know, it's like trying to guard, you know, Michael Jordan in the playoffs. And don't, no, I'm not trying to compare the two, but what I'm saying is
too late.
Womp, womp. There go my mentions again. But the idea of having guys who can make plays when you need them the most and it not just being the quarterback is an exciting opportunity as a Dolphins fan, especially when you think about their red zone struggles last year. I mean, there were games they were kicking like 6 field goals. And the easiest way to solve red zone struggles is don't even worry about it. Why not go 40 yards for the touchdown? You know, why not get it inside the 5 more often instead of trying to nickel and dime down to the 20, down to the 15? Because that's tough. It gets really tough inside of the red zone to find that open real estate, right? So I think these guys will do a good job of not only being those players that defenses just, you know, we got to try to contain them. We got to try to limit them because we know we can't stop them. And being those red zone guys. So, Josh, our first three, we're all offense. Let's take a little break here, and on the other side, I think you can guess, we have 3 on the defense, so stay tuned.
Let's do it. And Jake, you mentioned it was all offense at the top of the show. We are going to talk about defense, and I mentioned this is one of those under-the-radar signings acquired back on March 17th for a 2021 seventh-round pick from the Houston Texans in exchange for defensive end Shaq Lawson and a 2021 sixth-round pick. I'm talking about, of course, the Miami Dolphins' new middle linebacker, Bernardrick McKinney. 500 total tackles in his career, a former 2008 Pro Bowl. We know that really doesn't mean anything. But, Jake, I think a lot of people, you know, when the signing happened, it was right before, I think, free agency happened. And then after that, everything kind of got lost. And I think what Bernardrick McKinney, again, I said he's the perfect middle linebacker for this Dolphins defense. I said it in a previous podcast, you know, all these years I kept thinking that Raekwon McMillan was this very good linebacker. And in my head, I thought he was, you know, an all-pro, a Pro Bowl or something like that. I mean, I think that's what Bernardrick McKinney can be. I think he's kind of that player that I pictured in my head, that guy that can cover, is going to be an asset in the run game. And, you know, kind of reminds me a lot of Dante Hightower up there in New England. So I love this move when it happened. I think he's going to add a whole different dynamic to the run game and that defense. But again, Jake, I mean, this is a guy that's 4 years left on his contract. I looked it up. He's making $7 million this year, $9 million next year, and roughly $10 million the next year. And then the Dolphins have an option on his contract when he hits the age of 32 in 2024. So not only did they bring in a starter who, you know, I love Shaq Lawson, but I think Bernardrick McKinney does more for this defense than Shaq Lawson did. But then they bring in a guy who's locked up for a pretty significant amount of time. And, you know, the only reason people aren't even talking about Bernardrick McKinney is because he did get to have that shoulder injury last season. Because before that, again, he was a Pro Bowler, one of the best linebackers in football. So I had to throw him out there because this is a guy that some fans, you know, might not remember the Dolphins made a move for, him, to completely honest, till, you know, you see him out there in camp with the awesome face paint and he's knocking Miles Gaskins on his ass for a loss of two or something like that.
Man, that would be nice because it seems like the Dolphins have whiffed on linebacker after linebacker. Philip Wheeler, Danelle Ellerbe. I mean, Carlos Dansby and what, Kevin Burnett? Was that his name? I want to say AJ Burnett, but that was a pitcher. They've had decent guys, but I mean, back to the, you know, Joey Porter and Zach Thomas. I mean, they've really swung and missed on linebackers. I like the signing of McKinney, and it's kind of interesting because this isn't a move that I think happened overnight. As Benjamin Albright, Denver Broncos insider, says, it all goes down in the DMs. And we got to shout out the CEO, founder of Pro Football Network, Matthew Cannata, because he was saying in our DMs, right? He was saying that the Dolphins wanted McKinney when they were talking about the Laremy Tunsil deal. This is a guy that Brian Flores has had his eye on for quite some time. And, you know, I love the fact that you brought up that he's locked down for 4 years, because this isn't just a Band-Aid. Josh, I think Shaq Lawson was on contract for like two more years. To have someone like McKinney come in, and I think he can actually be cut relatively soon, and the Dolphins don't really have to eat a lot of dead money. So this is a perfect opportunity to view this, in a sense, as a rookie contract where you're figuring out if this guy belongs. Is this our linebacker of the future? And, you know, if he's locked up for the next 4 years and he's playing, maybe not, you know, Pro Bowl, because a lot of that, you know, fan voting, yada, 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 it's not that great of a barometer. But if he can be a serviceable middle linebacker for the next 3-4 years next to Jerome Baker, I mean, you will not hear one Dolphins fan complaining after the nonsense we've dealt with for years. And I mean, no offense to players like Raekwon McMillan, but, you know, the linebacker's been such a harsh spot for the Dolphins. I just always think about that Packers game with Philip Wheeler on a tight end. They called timeout and they kept Philip Wheeler out there. We got to keep a tally going about how often I bring up that play.
We both do. We love that.
To this day. Oh, man, it's brutal. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think McKinney is a very underrated signing. It wasn't a free agent move. The Dolphins and Texans aren't, you know, top-tier teams, so it wasn't, you know, that Brian Flores mastermind. He's got his middle linebacker. But us as fans, who are going to kind of take things with a little more energy and passion, I like this deal a lot. I like it in terms of money. I like it in terms of fit. This is a great pick, Josh. I have no doubts that I think McKinney can be a strong linebacker and really bump this Dolphins defensive unit to that, maybe I'm going to say, Josh, that elite level.
Talk dirty to us, Jake. Talk dirty. I didn't know what to say there, but I looked it up, man. Shaq Lawson, I mean, the Dolphins gave him a three-year, $30 million deal. So, I mean, when I mentioned those numbers inflating over these next few years, I don't even know what. The third year, I think, you know, Bedard McKinney was making close to $10 million. So the Dolphins kind of saved money here and, again, got rid of a very good defensive end. I mean, we all liked what Shaq Lawson did. Came in here and did everything the Dolphins expected of him. But I think, like you said, they saw a guy that they've been eyeing up for a while, saw an opportunity to pounce, and they brought him in here. And I think we're going to see, you know, him add another element to that Dolphins defense. But Jake, this next guy, I mean, we may as well jump right into Jalen Phillips.
He's in the circle of fame.
He is, and I'm drooling just talking about. But we love this player, and I mean, we just did our book club on him. We talked about all the potential he can bring to this, Jake. But you know, I put him down. But why don't you talk about Jalen Phillips? Because I know you feel just as equally as strongly about him as I do.
It really seems like a guy that, despite all his injury issues, the last year plus has really gone his way, and you see the vision of what he is capable of. And it goes back to him transferring to Miami and the starting defensive end at the time just kind of, I think it was the day after, Josh, saying, I'm going to step away. I'm not going to play this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And Phillips got that chance to start, and you just kind of saw the freak of nature he is. He is someone who can really penetrate an offensive line and throw plays in the garbage can, I guess is the best way to say it. The Dolphins have had guys in the run game who, you know, can take up two blocks, that can, you know, they've had guys that can push running backs into situations where the linebackers can, you know, make a play. Phillips is a guy who's going to straight up make the play on his own. You know, there's 11 guys, and 11 guys are needed to make a defensive unit tick, but one guy is all you need to make a tackle, right? And I think Jalen Phillips can be that guy. I think he's going to have opportunities early, especially being listed as a linebacker, where he can play inside, he can play outside a little bit. I mean, he's a first-round pick for a reason, Josh. Despite his injury issues, despite his bad luck, I mean, the last year for Jalen Phillips has been pretty awesome, and I think it started with that picture coming out of him wearing a Dolphins sweater while at the beach or on a boat or something.
I think it was all, you know, uphill from there. But I sat here and I was trying to figure out the right word to say about Jalen Phillips because we talked about it time and time again, but I forgot I wrote something down here, Jake. So, you know, I don't want to get into all the stats because we already did that, but I think what he can bring to this defense will help everyone. You know, we're sitting here talking about Xavier Howard's contract. You know, what's better if you lose – well, nothing's good if you lose Xavier Howard. Let's just take – if you take Xavier Howard of this defense, you know, your defense is definitely going to – feel that a little bit. But, you know, if you throw Noah Igbinoghi in there opposite of Byron Jones, what's the best way to counter, you know, some of that inexperience? Get into the quarterback quicker. And, you know, bring in a guy like Jalen Phillips, I think he's going to add that different dynamic that, you know, Andrew Van Ginkle's fine. You know, Jerome Baker's fine. All those guys are taking the next step. They're very good players. We love them. But I think what Jalen Phillips does is just a whole nother level. And that's why I'm so excited to see what he can do there. Because you mentioned him being listed as a linebacker. I don't know what that means for the Dolphins. I mean, I think he's going to be all over the defensive line, going to be standing up, dropping back in coverage, doing a little bit of everything. But this guy just brings a whole different dynamic than what the Dolphins are used to. And with Bernard McKinney and Jalen Phillips, I don't know how the Dolphins' defense isn't going to be better. And, you know, we sat here, we all wanted that shiny new running back, myself included, but it was either Javonte Williams or, you know, Najee Harris or Travis Etienne or Jalen Phillips. And, you know, instantly I was happy with that Jalen Phillips pick.
Josh, you ask how the defense can get worse, and number six for me is probably the only way I think the Dolphins' defense could get worse other than, you know, trading Xavier Howard and Flores wanting to go full Laremy Tunsil and do another rebuild just because. And that's Bobby McCain going out and Javon Holland coming in. Jason McCourty was also signed by the team. So I'm not going to pencil in Holland as that starting safety yet. But the key here about Phillips and Holland, Josh, is that these were the top, you know, defensive end and safeties taken in the draft. The Dolphins had the pick of the litter, and they chose Phillips and Javon Holland as those guys. So this is another time that, you know, I mentioned it in the first half, that the Dolphins are going to be stuck under that microscope. Because if there's two, three guys that are better than Jalen Phillips and better than Javon Holland, I mean, that goes right on Brian Flores and right on Chris Greer. So I wouldn't say it's a concern, but it's something to kind of keep in mind. And Josh, thinking about last season, I mean, you think about the game against the Chiefs, when Bobby McCain had to go out. You think about the game against the Cardinals, the biggest weakness for this Miami Dolphins defense is when Bobby McCain, despite being such a small dude, wasn't on the top of the Miami's defense because he really capped what opposing offenses could do downfield just by being that ball hawk, having that rhythm, having that motion. And to go from an experienced guy like Bobby to someone like Javon Holland or to someone like Jason McCourty, who might start playing a little more safety. I know he did it a bit last year, but become one of those, you know, I guess full-time starters for the Dolphins. There's not a lot guaranteed in that compared to what they had in Bobby McCain.
Yeah, Jake, and I mean, I hate that we're in the podcast on this kind of, you know, down note, but you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things we've kind of talked about throughout this offseason is the Dolphins are relying so much on these young players to take that next step. You know, you got rid of Kyle Van Noy. You know, we know why they got rid of him. You know, there's other players that are ready to step up, but you lost that veteran presence. You lost that guy that's been a team captain. You know, I was down on Bobby McCain. I didn't like what he was as a free safety, but then this year, I mean, we all saw that value there. We saw this defense, like you said, when he wasn't in the lineup. So that to me is definitely a huge concern, and you know, that trickles down to the Andrew Van Ginkles and some of those other guys that they're asking to take that next step. But you're absolutely right to see how Javon Holland's going to go out there and just, you know, not only be a vocal leader on the field, but see how he's going to be able to understand and get acclimated to that NFL game. It's going to be interesting. But I think, you know, when you listen to Gerald Alexander talk, when you listen to Josh Boyer and Brian Flores, I think they all think the world of him. And, you know, I guess, you know, they wouldn't have made this move, you hope, if they didn't feel that confident in what Javon Holland can do. So I don't think that he's going to be that traditional free safety, you know, maybe as Bobby McCain was. I think, you know, we might see Holland drop down a little bit more and play in the box because, you know, he does play much bigger than the Micah Fitzpatrick, who we all used to love. You know, he plays a little bit bigger than him, can drop down the box, can play nickel, and, you know, isn't scared to get his hands dirty, so to speak. So I think the Dolphins, a lot of their success on defense is going to come down to, you know, not only Bernard McKinnon and Jalen Phillips, but a huge, huge question surrounding Javon Holland and whether or not he can be that true dynamic playmaker the Dolphins drafted him to be right away.
Yeah, and it's interesting, I guess, for the most part, because Brandon Jones, Eric Rowe, and Javon Holland kind of all play the same position in terms of that safety or can come in the box. We know what Eric Rowe can do against tight ends. And Brandon Jones can really develop into that. And I think Holland, too, in terms of the physicality. But in terms of the ball skills, in terms of being that top of the defense, is a whole nother world. I think that's probably, Josh, the biggest question I have about this Miami Dolphins defense. As we saw last year, when you have a strong secondary, the pass rush always finds a way. So that's not a huge, huge worry for me. It's going to be cool to kind of see if Andrew Van Ginkel can take that next step and Jalen Phillips come in. And even someone like Vince Beagle come back and say, hey, don't forget about me. But that safety position is probably my biggest question mark. And I'm excited to hear what Holland does in camp. I'm excited to see where McCourty's going to line up. Because, Josh, you mentioned a good point there. The Dolphins aren't focused on veterans, right? They're not relying on veterans. But I think some of the most underrated players on this team might be those veteran signings, whether it's a McCourty. DJ Fluker looks awesome. I mean, he could be starting on the offensive line for the Miami Dolphins. He could upend one of the young guys and step in. I think a big strength of this Miami Dolphins team is depth, and it's because they are leaning on young guys and they have the older veterans coming in to kind of fill those holes and provide that depth where the Dolphins really are starting to have strong units at receiver, at offensive line, where we didn't really see that in the past. So that's been a little bit exciting. Josh, somehow, some way, listeners, somehow, some way, Josh, we made it through the offseason. By the next time I'm sitting down with you, miles and miles away from each other, we're going to be talking about live news. Players are reporting this week. I'm a little jazzed up. I don't know about you, but I'm a little jazzed up because the one show a week, talking about last season's fun, but I mean, man, I hope we don't suck this year.
I hope we don't suck this year, too. And I don't know if you meant to say. I mean, you were saying that so casually, but that was like a Ted Lasso speech. Like, I was ready to run through a freaking wall after listening to that, man. And before we get off the subject, I just want to throw this out there. What if the Dolphins bring in Malik Hooker? I mean, we saw him posting, what was it, eye emojis or smiley faces yesterday. We know they brought him in. I mean, you bring him in, he has experience of free safety. And then, again, like you said, they have a lot of depth here. And with this regime, as we've seen, you know, the cream rises to the top. So Jake, sorry I went back a little bit before we're going to go forward, but I cannot wait. I am so thankful that this offseason's over because it has been, you know, it's been one of the harder off seasons to get through with all the drama and BS that we've had to go through, but hey, we made it. We're the world's greatest.
There's no doubt about that. And things are relatively more normal, right? We're going to see more fans in the crowd. I mean, that's the weirdest thing about watching those 2020 games is just, I mean, Miami had a relatively good size amount of fans compared to the rest of the NFL, but I mean, it certainly wasn't the same. But this is it, Josh. We're recording this on Wednesday. I'm going to go on a little vacation. I'm going to put my feet in the sand for a few days, a couple Bud Light limes sitting by my side. And when we come back, Josh, I'm going to be ready. This is our call to action for the fans of the show, the people who join us, the people who listen to us, and the people who yell at us and call us idiots too. Go enjoy this weekend. Go, don't do much about football. Listen to this podcast, of course, but otherwise don't do much because when we come back, it is going to be the start of the season, fantasy, drama, action, whatever it may be. The 2021 season is coming, and so you should probably go enjoy this last weekend. Maybe listen to some baseball. Don't watch baseball. I prefer to listen to it on the radio. But something else, I'm going to give you guys one more call to action. Follow Josh on Twitter. You really got to follow Josh on Twitter at HOUTZ. It's that simple. I mean, he's got nearing 20,000 followers on Twitter. I think that's probably near the top of the Dolphins fan base. So I think he must be doing something right. So hit him with a follow. If you guys are liking the show, if you're jacked up about the season and ready to go about it with us, hit that subscribe button. That stuff, adding subscribers. I know you might just get it on your feed, search us, and it'll be in your recent shows. But the more people that subscribe, the more people find the show. So that stuff helps us out quite a bit. And just begging for help over here. If you guys want to, you know, leave a review, that stuff puts a little extra pep in our stuff. We have a lot of fun doing it. And who knows, we might do another jersey giveaway surrounding those reviews. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, we're definitely doing a jersey giveaway at some point. And
are you going to say who it is? Should we say who we're thinking?
I don't know. Have we confirmed it? I think we were still kind of teetering. But if you say it, I mean, we're confirmed. You want to say it? Go ahead.
After last year, I mean, I thought we kind of created our own path because we did a Solomon Kinley jersey. And since he's already in the Ring of Honor, you know, this jersey is going to be worth something for a while. I think we're going to do a Jalen Phillips jersey giveaway. I can't see anyone being mad about getting that jersey.
Should do a
throwback.
That's
kind of like the Jay Cutler jersey, right? Where I can, you know, wear it no matter what and everyone's going to like it, right? They're basically the same thing.
Yeah, that's because they think it's a Pat White jersey or a Lynn Bowden Jr. jersey. That's what the real thing is. But Jake, I'm overrated. That's the only reason I'm nearing 20,000. But we need to get Jake more followers, guys. No. Please, for the love of God, follow him at JMENDEL94. Jake's going to take a little vacation here. I'm going to take a little vacation here. When we come back, we are going to bring you as good of coverage as we have ever brought you for the Miami Dolphins Super Bowl push. Guys, if you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a 5-star review for the Jake and Josh Show, part of Finsider Radio. I'm Josh Houts. That's Jake Mendel. We'll talk to you next time.
Fins up.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. The greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins.